Tom Neff is Project Director for Computer Hardware and Enterprise Software Solutions at Program Executive Office Enterprise Information Systems for the United States Army. Tom, it's terrific to have you in the studio. Thank you for joining me. What is the mission of CHESS, and what role does it play inside PEOEIS? Thanks for coming in today.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. So the role of CHESS and the mission of CHESS is, very broad. So our customer base is really anybody across the United States Army, to include contractors that are working in support of the Army. And it's really to be a one-stop shop for everything in the commercial IT space that they could need. Something from as simple as office automation and printers on up to enterprise class storage, routers, switches, and then IT services, be they very small in nature, delivered at a single post-camp and station, to worldwide delivery of IT services that spans the globe everywhere that the Army has a soldier deployed.
So it can be anything on that entire spectrum, from the smallest supply to the most complex service. Is that a fair statement?
That's a good characterization. It could be something very simple, from standard, what I would call commodity IT, which, standard PCs and laptops that we see from major manufacturers if we're out at a mall and we go into a Best Buy, on up to high-end delivery of the design and delivery of IT systems, customized software, the integration of SAP software in the ERP space. Mm-hmm. So everything running that gamut, from commodity, low-price, technically acceptable type solutions to very high-end, best value type acquisitions.
Where's the most focus in your portfolio right now? I see the splits overall across the Defense Department and across the government as a whole, that a lot of even of IT procurement is primarily directed at services now, not so much at products. Is that the case in CHESS as well?
It is to some extent, except for the Army CIO has, I think in the delivery of their mission, to control the types of equipment that's on the Army's network, has made the buying of computer hardware off of the CHESS suite of vehicles mandatory. So in some ways, if you took a look at, our near-term mission, the ensuring that the right types of hardware are being procured by the Army is probably our top focus. And I say that perhaps because one of our enterprise class hardware solutions is in final stages of source selection. Mm-hmm. So obviously the companies that will end up being successful winning that contract are very interested in seeing the Army make a source selection decision so they can start selling their products and support services to the Army across mm-hmm. the world.
I'd looked a little bit before you came in at the E-Mart. I could only get so far on it, yep. of course, which yep. is understandable. Yep. But tell me about the concept behind the E-Mart, how long it's been around, and how much business goes through it, if you have that figure, and essentially how it works for your customers.
So there's a couple use cases in mind with the IT E-Mart. One of them is to kind of just be a portal to any user across the Army on the various types of hardware, COT software, or IT service providers that have, be they products or services, available for them to buy. So it could help somebody that's just trying to get an idea of what is out there in the marketplace on one portal, rather than having to use Google to surf the internet. It's a one-stop shop for that person. How I would characterize that is, and I've been around PEOEIS for a number of years in a more traditional program management space, so I was a user of CHESS in the past. So a lot of times, me and my folks would use the IT Mart to do in-depth market research, refine our independent government cost estimates, depending on whether we're buying services or hardware or software, but also to try to introduce our requirement to industry. One of the things I think all of the federal space struggles with is full transparency with industry on what we need. And I don't really know. I know the administration has focused a lot of energy on trying to break down those barriers, Mr. Kendall at OSD, to break down the barriers of communication between industry and government. You know, if you don't feel comfortable telling industry what you need, don't be surprised if the end result is going to be underwhelming, because you just need to, you know, we trust these companies. They've done great work for the Army for decades. But it seems like before we put an acquisition on the street, we have a tendency to be quite close hold with that. So it's a great tool for, be they a program manager or maybe a less sophisticated buyer that just needs to instrument a conference room with VTC equipment to introduce their requirement to industry. And then they'll be surprised with how interested industry is to get out and look at what that problem set is, and they have some great, you know, products and services to help them meet their mission.
You mentioned COT software, commercial off-the-shelf software. What's the trend that you're seeing toward that or away from it? We see a lot of interest in that across government as people try to avoid, if they can, waterfall custom solutions and so on. There are some cases where COTS works fine or works with a little modification, where in the past a waterfall would have been done. What are you seeing your users inside the Army trending toward or away from when it comes to COTS?
So I kind of think about that in two ways. Coming from a traditional kind of program of record background, you know, PMs for a while have tried very hard to try to buy the solution and not develop it, because if you're going to develop it, it's going to take a long time, and it's going to be quite expensive. I know that there's an ongoing challenge, and I think I trace it back to transparency with industry, with being able to explain how business is done within the Army and matching that to the COTS solutions that are available in the marketplace, you know, and then kind of figuring, and I'm stealing this term probably from Mr. Kendall, where's your trade space? You know, where can you look to maybe change a business process so you can use something that Oracle or Microsoft or SAP offers out in their out-of-the-box solution, that the Army could just adapt what the software has to offer and change their business process to enable that to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I see more and more of that. I think, you know, particularly in the logistics and the personnel space, the Army in particular, they've made their investments in ERP solutions and looking to adopt what those vendors have available that most of the Fortune 500 companies are using, and adapt their business processes around that. You know, where CHESS is more involved in partnering with, in particular, the Army CIO G6 and DISA, is enterprise licensing agreements. You know, so you get a broader base of users buying the commonly used software like Microsoft, Oracle, SAP, buying it once, cutting down with the back office inefficiencies of having multiple licensing agreements, potentially with conflicting terms and conditions. And, you know, as a soldier or a government civilian changes roles inside of an organization, they shouldn't have to get duplicative licenses.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's worked quite well. I know the Army is partnered with Air Force and DISA, talking to Microsoft about the next joint enterprise licensing agreement. You know, probably the most commonly used set of software across the federal space, and I think even in commercial market space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure our office, in partnership with Army Contracting Command, is probably in the last stages of our ELA 2 for SAP software for logistics ERPs, where once again we're looking to have common terms and conditions, reasonable price because you're going to do volume buying, and a single belly button from industry to the Army on performance of their software solution.
What, as you do your business analysis and you see what your customers are buying from you, are there categories that you look at and say, well, I would figure that there would be more business going through on this category or these categories than there are?
One of the things I know that we would like to see, and I think the Army Army leadership would like to see, is we'd like to see greater utilization of small business, particularly in the IT services space. And it's not that the large system integrators have not done a great job for the Army when it when there's a requirement to deploy a large workforce on a global space. They have done superb work delivering that. What we'd like to see is more buying activities. Think about whether small businesses, particularly in the IT services space, could probably better answer their requirement and give them a better shot at getting to know the requirement. You know, because a lot of times large companies are the incumbents when you're coming time to recompete something. If the buyer is not willing to be transparent with the potential offers out there, it will be very difficult for them to dislodge an incumbent. And we'd like to see greater utilization of small business.
You mentioned some of the procurements that are upcoming, things that you're working on now. What are some of the major ones, some specifics that you're looking at right now, and what kind of timeline are you under so that folks can be aware of what's coming down the road from your office?
So we have two quite large multi-billion dollar, multi-award IDIQ contracts that are in the final phases of having a complete acquisition strategy, and we anticipate having a request for proposal on the street towards the end of either the end of this calendar year or very early in January of 2016. One of them is our IT services contract. So it is Information Technology Enterprise Solutions 3S, the S being services. Mm-hmm. We anticipate that being a 9-year, $12 billion contract awarded to both large and small businesses, targeting up to 14 small businesses. For awards. A lot of industry interest around that. We had an industry day at Fort Belvoir back in June, over 600 participants from industry. So I think what we have, there's a large suite of businesses that have done some great work for the Army in the IT services space and more that would like to get into that space. I think this will be a great vehicle. ITES 2S has been... we're in the 10th year of performance, 16 primes, some great performance. I think all those companies have made quite a bit of revenue. So it's been good for industry. It's been good for the Army. Good companies with reasonable labor rates. Mm-hmm. Not as much small business participation on 2S. So one of our primary goals is to increase the pool of highly qualified small businesses as primes that can compete for work, CONUS and OCONUS. For the Army. The next vehicle, a little behind in the timeline, but the requirements are a little simpler, so we anticipate the RFPs being out in similar timelines. So the Army Desktop and Mobile Computing 3, so it'll be the third generation of that contract, looking at 10 years, $5 billion worth of ceiling. Again, it'll be a mix of large and small businesses. You know, the larges, there are some large resellers, but for the most part in that space, the larges are the major original equipment manufacturers that dominate that commodity space. Mm-hmm. But some great small businesses that both make some fairly niche products, particularly around ruggedized laptops that are used obviously within by the uniformed military far more than in commercial industry, and some small business resellers. That have been successful on ADMC2. They have carved out good relationships with their customers and are delivering great solutions at reasonable prices and supporting them when there's problems with the equipment, you mm-hmm. know, and that's how they've built long-term business relationships with their customer base.
Have you done an industry day for ADMC3 yet?
We did. We had it on the same day as we did for ITES 3S. As the force protection posture on the installations has been increased recently, and we knew we were going to have these events at Fort Belvoir, we felt like if we're going to ask industry to get through what can be an intrusive security process, let's ask them to do it once. Mm-hmm. Some of these companies were obviously interested in both companies. In the end, I think it worked out. It showed that the Army was serious about these contracts, that there's some momentum around them. And I think it gave our partners from Army Contracting Command, the contracting officers and the small business advocate, to have some great communication with industry. You know, our contracting is done out at Rock Island Arsenal in Illinois. A lot of these companies that have their primary program managers and business development executives, they're here in the D.C. area. It gave a great opportunity for industry and ACC to do some collaboration in that event. I think it was very worthwhile.
Do you have a mechanism to go back after an industry day and make sure the message that you spent a lot of time refining to present at an industry day is what your colleagues, your partners in industry actually heard, to make sure that they get what you are looking for?
Yeah, so we try to get at that issue in a number of ways. One of them is I have tried very hard in the year I've been at CHESA just having a complete open door with industry. So anybody from industry who wants to come in and talk to me, it's very easy to come in and see me. You know, every week there's multiple companies in to talk to us. You know, unless there's an actual solicitation on the street, we keep our door wide open. Other times there, you know, events like this, you know, I'm going to speak at the AUSA Small Business Convention in October. You know, so that's something that I can control. Mm-hmm. You know, and just force, I wouldn't say force, but I try to reinforce the message with our folks, with Army Contracting Command, of the great value that I've learned in my career. In always talking to industry until the last possible second, and keep reinforcing and ask questions. You know, oftentimes industry days feature more of the government speaking, you know, and industry furiously writing.
Yeah.
Where I found the office one-on-ones, that's where you can ask questions. You know, oftentimes industry will ask, well, can I send you a short white paper on what we've talked about? I'm like, please do. And I share it with everybody, people on our staff, people with Army Contracting Command. Because a lot of times I think there's just some, there's still some discomfort around that, that if I accept a white paper from one industry partner, what if I haven't accepted one from everyone?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the spirit that OMB and Mr. Kendall has tried. I think it's been a, I think that the message he's tried to convey is fairness and transparency is what you should be doing.
Yeah, the message that I hear as an outside observer from the beginning of this administration, even previous administrations too, both at the OMB level and the OSD level, is the more communication, the better, to the extreme. You know, the more information and input that we can get at every point along the way, the better off we are. And it sounds like that's what you're trying to implement as well.
I've been fortunate enough to work for, you know, a couple great mentors in the past, program managers that I've worked for, previous program executive officers that believed in that as well. You know, so I was just fortunate enough to have worked for people that saw the value in communicating with industry, because particularly in the PEO EIS world, you know, we're not getting a lot of R&D dollars appropriated by Congress to design something from scratch. We're trying to buy great products that commercial industry has to offer. And if you're going to do that, you've got to be transparent with industry.
If I'm a vendor that's on ITEST 2 or ADMC 2, what will I find that's different, do you think, if you know yet, about the third iteration of each of those?
So on the services contract on 3S, there's going to be a lot more in the task areas, a lot more emphasis on cybersecurity, more emphasis on migrating of Army applications from on-premise to cloud, as long as, you know, the buyer and industry has agreed that all the security concerns can be met. You know, so if I had to characterize the two biggest things, it would be around that. We're starting to see some implementation of cloud services even on 2S. Some small, you know, some implementations of buying and deploying some big data solutions, but I think it's going to be a lot broader in 3S. So we've tried to emphasize corporate experience around those. So we're trying to attract the vendor community to propose teams that have demonstrated some experience, be it in the commercial space or in the defense space, not just the Army space, around cyber, around cloud, big data analytics, and not just sort of the traditional on-premise delivery of highly qualified people that are working on an installation. Those requirements, I think, are going to be enduring. But we've tried to focus a little bit more on areas that we see emerging. And, you know, it's not so much myself and our staff that have sat around thinking about that. You know, we've listened very carefully to what, you know, General Farrell, the Army CIO G6, has laid out in his Army IT strategy. And, you know, our mission to him is really to make sure that there's, you know, an Army strategic source for services that can enable industry to deliver on what he sees as his overarching strategies and goals.
How have you built flexibilities, or will you build flexibilities into each of these on-ramps or whatever, given that you said ITES-3S will be a 9-year vehicle, ADMC-3 will be a 10-year vehicle, and of course we know the trajectory of change that technology's on in just a 1 or 2 or 3 year period, let alone for a 9 or 10 year period.
Yeah, so you know, in the services space, you know, we've structured, I think we've structured that acquisition. We're going to be planning to award to a broad range of companies. And there is no restriction on partnering. So as new solution providers enter the market space, even if they're not a prime on that contract, I think the people that are will be clamoring for those people, particularly in cloud providers, emerging cyber capabilities. They'll be clamoring for those companies and those company solutions to be their partners. You know, Army Desktop and Mobile Computing 3, if we looked at the biggest spend on the current vehicle, it's equipment that we're very familiar with. You know, that part of the market, I don't think, is changing. There's going to be an enduring need for standard office automation across the Army. You wouldn't be surprised, obviously, there's a great uptick in the Army wanting tablets, particularly, you know, and I kind of want to characterize them as semi-ruggedized tablets. So there are certainly some commanders and staffs that are looking for tablets like the iPad. But we're seeing a lot of interest in semi-ruggedized tablets. So the kind of tablets that they could take with them if they're going to the motor pool or out for a field exercise and not worry about it being damaged beyond the point of use. You know, we've done some partnering. You know, I'd like to think that, you know, we look across the federal space for potential partners. ADMC-2 right now, what it does allow you to buy is equipment that comes pre-configured with the Army Gold Master image. So, you know, the properly secured and approved Gold Master image, but it's for Windows. So users that were looking to buy tablets that were running the Apple or the Android-based operating systems had to go elsewhere. So rather than trying to modify the current contract, we partnered with NASA and their SOUP contract that had, you know, DoD approved configurations for the Apple and the Android based tablets. You know, now we're seeing great traffic this summer on people that we used to have to tell them, sorry, we can't help you. You need to go to the open market to buy that. Now we can see the demand signal. We can kind of control what people are buying to make sure that it's the approved versions that DoD has approved, you know, and then in the follow-on vehicle, it'll obviously include scope of that because now we've really been able to measure the market demand in that space.
You mentioned RFPs, the end of 2015 or early 2016 for both of these. What's the timeline that you see following after that for analysis and awards and so on? You have a sense of that yet?
So, a lot of that, you know, on ITES-3S, that will be driven largely, I think, by the number of proposals that we end up getting from industry. And there's some, we saw a tremendous amount of interest from industry, either from folks coming to visit with us or coming to Industry Day. There are a large amount of small businesses out there that are looking to get their foot in the door with the Army, and they have some great people and some ideas to offer the Army. We're hoping that they'll be successful. But at the same time, we are looking for companies that understand the breadth and the complexity of delivering IT services, CONUS and OCONUS, sometimes delivering people that are going to be working in harm's way. So we've tried to make make that very clear. And we've been trying to help industry make their prime versus teaming relationship over the summer by releasing an advisory multi-step. So we asked industry to submit, you know, a fairly concise white paper around their corporate experience, you know, focusing on some of the task areas, cyber and cloud, some quality certifications in the ISO or CMMI, the things that would suggest, you know, that the risk to the Army or the Army's buyers has been mitigated at the IDIQ level.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to provide that feedback to industry in late September on whether we think they're viable or non-viable as a prime. Now, if we give somebody some advice that we don't think they're viable, that doesn't mean that they certainly are fully welcome to submit a proposal. It's not part of formal source selection. It's really meant to try to give some advice to industry. You know, and one of the things we are trying to do is try to drive some teaming. That there's some great companies that have some fairly niche capabilities, and they'd be great to be on somebody's team because mm-hmm. then they could leverage either another small businesses executives or even a large businesses executives that understand the Army requirement can help market their skills that, you know, a very small company may have challenges then winning any work. Because mm-hmm. the last thing we want to do is have a company win a contract at the IDIQ level and then they're not successful in winning lots of task orders. We want to see the winners win lots of task orders, and if that company's business strategy is to graduate from being a small business and become a large business, we're hoping that 3S will help them do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would set up an opportunity for us to on-ramp some new small businesses.
It sounds like from that description that it's an important factor to you also to have the right slate of vendors on these contracts and not just to hit calendar marks for the sake of hitting calendar marks. Is that a fair assumption on
exactly.
my part?
Exactly. I think we knew going into this that it was going to that source selection was not going to be something that happened overnight. But because we are looking to be somewhat selective on who ends up being a prime, you know, our acquisition strategy was not to have a pool of over 100 vendors. We were really looking for the source selection process to end up in a pool of the most highly qualified vendors that had invested in the technologies and people that understood what the Army's IT strategy was five years from now and had positioned their company to deliver on that.
Mm-hmm.
And not someone that just wanted it as a marketing tool to say, I'm a chess contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a valuable... I mean, we understand that that's a valuable marketing tool. It does allow some companies to open doors with customers if they can tell them, well, I am a chess vendor. But I think why that has some staying power is, you know, historically chess, who used to be the Army Small Computer Program, has historically been somewhat selective on who their approved pool of vendors were so that the performance, it wasn't just winning the contract. They performed on the contract once they won it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, over time, they established and maintained trust with their customer base.
So the exclusivity of the contracts and the prestige that comes with being on them, and of course, the $12 billion and $5 billion of potential revenue does leave you open to the possibility that somebody might not like your decisions once you make them.
I think, you know, so... I think in the era, you know, there's been a lot of emphasis, I think, from the administration and Congress on strategic sourcing. You know, and I think one of the ramifications, I fully support strategic sourcing because I think CHESS and the Army Small Computer Program has been doing strategic sourcing before it was known as strategic sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the ramifications with the federal budget coming down, the Army being pretty serious about enforcing that if you're going to buy COTS IT, we think you can get what you need off of the CHESS contract, so we're going to drive spend to those contracts, that it raises the importance of being successful at the IDIQ level. So that means there's going to be the inevitable protest. You know, that doesn't, I think we know that. You know, it's just part of the doing business. There's been a change in that. You know, when I first got into doing IT acquisition, you know, 10 plus years ago, I think it was fairly odd to see a protest because I think unless industry had seen that something was patently done unfairly or there was an egregious mistake, that just wasn't the culture that's changed. But, you know, in some ways, I think that puts more importance or more emphasis on the government evaluation team to, you know, say what you're going to do when you evaluate a proposal and then do what you say. You know, I think the worst thing that can happen is when you don't follow that kind of practice. You know, I know that DOD in particular in the federal space, they became maybe a little over enamored of low price technically acceptable. And then I think they saw some performance ramifications of that, and they're trying to, you know, turn the battleship again. But there are some requirements that lend themselves to LPTA. I feel like, you know, if you are a buying customer and you can describe your requirement well enough, then that lends itself to LPTA. But the worst thing you can do as a buyer to industry is call your solicitation a best value, but in practice, you're really awarding, you're trying to get two or three technically acceptable offers, and then you're going to award to the low price. And I don't think that's the proper way to do business.
Tom, we're almost out of time, and we've covered a lot of ground. I'm very grateful for your information and your time today. What else should we know about the work that your office is doing and will do in the future?
So I don't think I've probably characterized it well enough, but, you know, the CHESS office, a little non-traditional program management office compared to the rest of PEO Enterprise Information Systems, because we don't get, you know, a defined set of requirements and a budget and then to deliver something to a soldier. You know, I see our role as almost being, you know, kind of the middleman between a customer that may know specifically what they want or just needs a little guidance, providing them easy to use contract vehicles with a wide range of solution providers at reasonable prices. You know, so inside of the program office, you know, I see it as there's kind of a team that's involved in, if CHESS is successful, which I think it has been, it's the people in the program office, it's our partners at Army CIO G6 who help set the policy. It's our partners at Army Contracting Command Rock Island who do all of our contract. And then the great engineers, the Army engineers that we rely on that are out at Fort Huachuca. You know, that's kind of the team. And then on the opposite side, it's the industry partners, from major OEMs to large system integrators to the small businesses. You know, their performance, frankly, is what makes CHESS look good in the end, because if they weren't performing, frankly, the customer, what they would remember is, I bought that stuff from CHESS and it didn't work out. In the end, it's the great stuff that industry makes and delivers that is what makes CHESS successful.
Tom, I congratulate you on your success, and I thank you very much for coming and talk to me about it today.
Okay. Thank you.